us. We love you. God bless.
Before God created civil government, He created family. Before He created even the church, God created family. Families play a vital role in training the next generation. Commit today to nurturing and supporting families, especially your own. Families that are committed to God and each other can play a vital role in transforming our churches, cities, states, and nation.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
Today is the 4th of July. This is the day that we celebrate the birthday of this country. And we have a great heritage in this nation of people turning to God in prayer. Despite what you're told, a lot of times people today are told that the founding fathers were evil, wicked men. We're told a lot of really untruths, and we're going to discuss some of those today, but we also are going to address the sins of America and call for in the pattern of the founding fathers and after the pattern of the pilgrims and the Puritans and those who have come since then to call to America to turn from our sins and to turn back to God, to fall on our knees before God, and to ask God to forgive us. Many today have been told that the founding fathers were evil men, and in fact, many younger people have actually been taught to hate America, and have been taught that America is an evil nation, to the point that one Olympian athlete recently took the podium and actually turned her back on the national anthem. Another Olympian actually said that her goal is to win a medal so that she can go up on the stand, on the podium, and burn the U.S. flag. But on this day, we celebrate the signing of the Declaration of Independence, which reads in part, "The unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for a people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with one another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal stations to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitles them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the government, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to effect their safety and happiness." And those are the words, and they pledged their lives, their fortunes, their sacred honor. And many lost their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor to establish freedom. But as we know, and we're going to discuss the issue of slavery, because this is one of the charges that has been brought against America's founding fathers. And we're going to discuss slavery a little bit here today to give you some context here. because America did own slaves, but we are told, and in fact, I just recently heard, and one of the things that you probably will hear and see people saying, and I just heard the President of the United States parroting these words, that slavery was America's original sin. That, by the way, is not true. That is a lie from the pit of hell. And this is based on, that phrase is based on the 1619 Project. And that project says, well, the first slaves were brought here in 1619. And since then, everything that we had, that we have in America, is because of slavery. By the way, if you want to learn a little bit about slavery and a little bit about some of the things that happened, some of the behavior that the slaves adopted from the slave owners, I would encourage you to read Black Rednecks and White Liberals by Thomas Sowell. He actually quotes several, there were a few economists at the time that actually looked at the economy of the South and actually determined that slavery actually held back economic activity. And it's just a fabulous, fabulous book. But slavery did exist, and some of the things that you won't hear from those who parrot this is that, first of all, that first boat, those slaves that were there, they were not taken into slavery. They were actually became indentured servants. They served for a certain period of time to earn their freedom. They then were released and let go. One of those who was an indentured servant actually started bringing other slaves over from Africa and holding them as indentured servants and then releasing them. He was black, and he was one of the former, one of that first group of indentured servants. Well, he had one indentured servant that was lazy. And in fact, he was so lazy that he said, there's no way that in the period of time that I have agreed to be to allow this man to serve as an indentured servant, there's no way that I can recoup my cost. And so he actually went to court and sued for the right to own this man forever. That actually was the start of slavery in America. It was a black man petitioning the court to own another black man. That's something that you won't hear about. By the way, when a boat of slaves was brought to the Pilgrims did something a little bit different. And you can watch, by the way, David Barton with Wall Builders. You can go to their YouTube channel. He has a fabulous story on this and report on this, actually going back to the original documents and showing the history of slavery in America, and also is showing that so many of the founding fathers were actually against slavery. And we'll actually quote from that just a little bit here this morning. But when a slave boat was brought to the Pilgrims, the Pilgrims set, according to the Bible, they set the slaves free, and they imprisoned the captors, those who were attempting to sell the slaves, using biblical principles for that. One of the things that slavery, the people that are talking about how evil America is, and one of the things that they won't tell you is that slavery existed throughout the world at that time. They won't tell you that there were actually more whites kept as slaves in Africa than there were blacks kept as slaves in the United States. They won't tell you that most of the slaves that came out of Africa were actually kidnapped by other black warlords, many of them Muslim, black Muslims, that actually would take a tribe and would take them and would sell them as slaves. What they won't tell you is that there were actually whites that were slaves in America as well, and that of the free men that were slaves, the free black men in the South, large percentages, 25, sometimes 30% or more, actually owned slaves of their own. So slavery was a complicated issue, and it was something that, because slavery at the time of the founding of this country, at the time of the Declaration of Independence, slavery was something that was so common because it was practiced throughout the world. By the way, slavery is still practiced in the United Nations. There's a little bit over 200 nations in the United Nations. About half of those, including many countries in Africa, still allow slavery to exist. One of the things that they won't tell you also is that the very first law against slavery was actually passed before the signing of the Declaration of Independence. And several states in the Union outlawed slavery prior to the signing of the U.S. Constitution. By the way, that first law that outlawed the slave trade was from Virginia. The King of England actually vetoed that law, basically forbade Virginia from actually prohibiting the slave trade from existing. Many of the founding fathers, including George Washington, did release their slaves. Many of the founding fathers were abolitionists. There were certain founding fathers from North Carolina, from South Carolina, and from Georgia that were pro-slavery, and that's because their states owned slaves. But the majority of the founding fathers actually were against slavery. And it was actually the words in the Declaration of Independence that got them to thinking. That was a paradigm shift. John Jay actually identified that as the point. He said, prior to the Great Revolution, the great majority of our people had been so long accustomed to the practice and convenience of having slaves that very few of them even doubted the propriety and rectitude of it. The revolution was the turning point in the national attitude, and it was the founding fathers who contributed greatly to that change. In fact, many of the founders vigorously complained against the fact that Great Britain had forcefully imposed upon the colonies the evil of slavery. In fact, the very first draft of the Declaration actually had that charge in it that the King of England had forced this upon them. So those are some things that you won't hear about why those who are seeking to divide and seeking to raise up racial animosity in this country. But we are not in this nation a nation that is perfect. We never have been. And that is probably true more today than it has ever been. And we're going to go over and actually recite the sins of America and actually call this nation back to God. We need to repent. We need to turn back to God. We're at a very critical time in our nation, and we need to turn back to God. We in this nation, over 100 years ago, actually replaced creation science, the idea that God created man, that God created you and me. He created the world. He created us. By the way, that is the foundation for the elimination. That was the foundation for the elimination of slavery. And it also was the foundation for the for the rights of every human being. Because God is our creator. We're created in his image. And because we're created in his image, we have these certain rights, these certain rights that come from God. And this is the reason that governments are instituted. In 1962, in Engle versus Vitale, the Supreme Court removed prayer from public schools, and we allowed it to happen. In 1963, in Abington versus Shipp, the Supreme Court removed the Bible from education of children in public schools. By the way, the Bible was the primary reading book, along with the New England Primer, in the first public schools. But the Bible was removed, and we allowed it to happen. In the 1960s, we saw the sexual revolution happen also, where people started casting off restraint. You see, if we are created in God's image, and God is our creator, not only is our life valuable because we're created in his image, but also we are subject to his rules and his laws, and we need to do what he tells us to do. But when you cast off the idea that God is our creator, then whatever you believe is right for you. And whatever I believe is right for me. And so you saw this in the 1960s with the sexual revolution, the idea that people could have physical, intimate relations with whoever they wanted to without consequences. But we know that there are consequences. There are venereal diseases, and there are children conceived out of wedlock. And one of the things that happened was in 1973, the Roe versus Wade and Doe versus Bolton decisions that made it legal to actually kill preborn children in the womb. In 1980, in Stone versus Graham, the U.S. Supreme Court, which has the Ten Commandments engraved on its doors and over where they actually sit, removed the Ten Commandments from schools. In 2003, in Lawrence versus Texas, the Supreme Court expanded the right of privacy. This was a right, by the way, that's not in the U.S. Constitution, but was actually created through a series of court decisions that culminated in Roe versus Wade and Doe versus Bolton. But in 2003, they expanded that right of privacy to include homosexuality. We know also that Massachusetts became the first state to start legalizing homosexual marriages. We have seen in our nation a huge move toward also transgender and even allowing men to go into the bathroom of a woman, the women's bathroom, or women to go into the bathroom of a man, even those who haven't even become transgender, those who haven't even had a surgery and haven't taken hormones to quote-unquote change their sex. And there's no way to biologically change your sex. There are certain biological differences between male and female. God created us male and female. But we are told in many cases that a man who self-identifies as a woman can actually go into a woman's bathroom or into a woman's locker room and expose himself. We also have seen atrocities happening in our nation. And one of the things that is happening is our government is continuing to fund Planned Parenthood. We continue to give money to the leading abortion provider. By the way, more blacks are killed by abortion than are killed by any other way. More humans are killed by abortion than any other way. We have also seen the breakdown, and we've been talking about this quite a bit, the breakdown of families in America. Now, it's no it's no coincidence that this has happened, because this has happened because the church has been absent. We've really largely have been absent from the public square. The church withdrew from society. The church also has removed the law of God. The law of God has not only been removed from our schools, it has also been removed from our churches. You see, many churches will read the Bible, but they're not going to read every part of the Bible. They'll read selective parts of the Bible. They'll read parts about God's blessing. They'll read parts about God wanting to bless you and bestow blessings upon you. But they won't show you that those blessings require obedience to His commandments. And this is true for nations as well as for individuals. One of the things that's really sad is that only 9% of Christians actually have a biblical worldview. And when you get to, and that's evangelical Christians, the most devout sect or the most devout version of Christianity. When you look at the mainline denominations, Lutherans, Presbyterians, Episcopal, only 2% have a biblical worldview. That's a view that is based on that they're looking at the world based on what the Bible has to say, based on what God says. When you look at Roman Catholics, only half a percent have a biblical world view. The results of turning away from God are huge. We see this in America today. Sexually transmitted infections are at epidemic proportions. Disgruntled employees killing coworkers. Students going into schools and killing students. Children killing their parents, sometimes parents killing their children that are born. We've seen a rise in terrorism happening. We've seen the largest ever attack on U.S. soil. And we've seen a rise in natural disasters and storms and wildfires. And there are people that say, well, this is because of global warming. But the Bible has a different view from a biblical worldview. The Bible says that when we violate God's commandments, God will actually even turn nature, creation will actually be unleashed to destroy human beings. You can read about this, by the way, in Romans chapter 8, creation groaning, not putting up with futility willingly. But you can also read about this with the Canaanites. When God was bringing the Israelites into Canaan, God told them that the land was vomiting forth the Canaanites because they were violating His commandments. And God said, if you commit those same sins, He didn't say God's going to bless you. He said the land will vomit you forth as well. We have also seen a large virus, the coronavirus, that has killed many people throughout the world, and including the United States. We have seen rioting from peaceful, quote-unquote, mostly peaceful demonstrations. We have seen rioting and looting happening in our nation. We as a people need to turn back to God. We need to humble ourselves. We need to pray. The Bible actually tells us in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. That's the only hope for America. The only hope we have of turning this nation around is to turn back to God. The only hope we have is to cry out to Him, to cry out and realize that our dependence is on God. The Pilgrims, when they came over here, their dependence was on God. The Puritans, their dependence was on God. When there was an Indian uprising, when there was a crop failure, they turned to God. They examined themselves. They sought to see if there was any wicked way in them that they needed to turn back to God. At the founding of this country, even before the signing of the Declaration of Independence, the Continental Congress called for people to humble themselves, to fast, to pray, and to seek God's face and to turn from their wicked ways and to so that God could hear from heaven. And presidents throughout the ages, since that time, have called for America to turn from their wicked ways and to cry out to God. Presidents today, no longer, with the exception of just a few, and our previous president, Donald Trump, was one that would call for people, but even he would still be not quite as bold as those founding fathers who actually would call for people to cry out to Jesus Christ, to repent of their sins and to turn from their wicked ways and to seek his face. We need to do this. We need to cry out to God. We need to humble ourselves to realize that we have sinned, that we have fallen short of God's glory. We as a people, as a nation, need to repent. As Daniel repented for the sins of his nation, we need to repent for the sins of America. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory, with exceeding joy to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Lord, hasten the day that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. When the multitudes of the islands would lift up their voices to you, when the coastlands would wait for your law, when the fullness of the Gentiles would come, and when you would call your people Israel back into your kingdom, Father. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
Before God created civil government, he created family. Before he created even the church, God created family. Families play a vital role in training the next generation. Commit today to nurturing and supporting families, especially your own. Families that are committed to God and each other can play a vital role in transforming our churches, cities, states, and nation.
Like the rain, streams of compassion.